Welcome to Switchfoot Song Stories, a fan-run and operated podcast, not affiliated with Switchfoot.
All right, welcome to another episode of the podcast. What a special day it is. This is our 50th episode. It's been quite a journey the last couple years, and to celebrate our 50th episode, we've got the man himself, John Foreman. What's up, sir?
I am here. I'm not sure if I'm the man himself, but I am absolutely here, and I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is a true honor to talk to you and have you on the show, and especially exciting because you got a new project coming out in Bloom that releases May 31st. We're going to dive in and talk about it. You know, your music has been such a soundtrack to so many lives, myself included. So when you're about to release something new, it's kind of like a new chapter in our favorite book is about to come out, and songs that'll stick with us and journey with us for years. So, and I know if we're that excited as fans, you must be really excited. So my first question is, how does it feel with all these releases over many years? Like, does it still feel kind of like a kid on Christmas, or like, what does it feel like now with when your album is about to be released into the world?
Yeah, you would think that the feeling would fade. You would think that I would become jaded or normalized, and that I wouldn't feel as excited as I do. But I'm every bit as excited as I ever was. I mean, I remember putting our first album out, Legend of Chin, back in the 1900s, and I remember I couldn't wait for people to hear it. I think the difference now is that I feel like there's this conversation, this lifelong conversation with people, you know, folks like yourself, some people I've met and I know by name, and other people that I've never met that live halfway around the world. And I just feel like it's such a gift to be able to have an outlet, to be able to express these ideas and feelings, and then even more of a gift to feel like the conversation is reciprocated, that we get to talk about it together on a platform like this. So yeah, I'm thrilled to be bringing it into the world.
What was different this time around, the making of In Bloom compared to Departures or other records of the past? Would you say that any part of the process was different, or your overall feeling, your creativity, anything different from previous?
Yes, this is markedly different, especially from, let's say, a project like The Wonderlands, where that was a concentrated effort to write a certain group of songs that would be cast into four different EPs. And it was an intentional effort with even the production, the producers, all these different things. Much more of a cognitive effort where you're kind of chipping away at a stone to bring something out. This project was the antithesis of that. I wanted to write an album called Arrivals that would be the answer to Departures. And so that was the stone that I was chipping away at. And it was avoiding me. It was evading me. It kept running away every time I would try and chase it down. And at the same time, these other songs were coming to me, almost annoyingly so, that didn't fit in the record I was trying to make. So yeah, I feel like Arrivals was this chunk of stone that I was beating away at with a hammer and chisel. And In Bloom was this garden that was growing up next to me without my asking. And at one point it kind of became a matter of, you know, am I going to continue to beat my head against a wall and chase after this thing that's not coming? Or am I going to be present to the moment, these songs that are coming to me? And so that's, for me, that's what In Bloom is. Even the photo shoot with Eric Frost was, not a photo shoot for an album per se. We were just hanging out, having lunch, took a couple pictures, and that's the cover of the album. So the entire album feels very free. I wanted most of the takes to be the first or the second time that I sang the song, the first or the second time that I ever picked up the guitar and played the song. So there's mistakes there. So yeah, I love it. It feels like a wild flower rather than something I chiseled away.
Nice. I love the whole concept of it. From what I know of it so far, already have an early favorite lyric from the single. The dark is long, but the dawn is soon. The light that you seek is seeking you. So good. I think one of the things that in the last 20 plus years that so many of us have learned and been part of the journey is just the being present to the moment. You know, just having understanding the importance, the gift of that every breath is. And so to have an entire album that is kind of geared towards that, I think is going to be really special. And you kind of answered my next question, which was, did the concept come early or even the title as far as like when something clicked and you're like, hey, I'm going to make a full record. But you kind of answered that, just how, you know, several songs were kind of changing themes almost in real time. Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's in fact, we had to figure it out with the record company. I'm independent, but it's put out with some friends of ours, and it was this thing where we had to go back and say, actually, we're not going to do what we said we were going to do. You know, it's just, which is never what you want to say as a human, you know. But it was this thing where I'm talking to my manager Chris, who I've been with for years, and I'm trying to explain to him, hey, I honestly think, I know we talked about this, but I think this is the album that should come out. And so, yeah, and it sounds really esoteric and kind of hippie surfer language when you start talking about the desire of a song, like the song wants this or that, you know, but I do feel like there is something inherently receptive about the nature of songwriting. And you could say my least favorite songs are the ones where I'm squeezing them into existence and trying to create something from nothing. I feel like the best songs are the ones that come to you. And that was the way that I talked everyone into it. I was like, these are the songs that I'm not squeezing into anything. They're just feels right, you know?
Awesome. I remember when Departures came out, you said that, the song that you did with Lauren Daigle was a song that was actually years. It was written previously, like years ago, and kind of resurfaced on a hard drive. Any songs on this album that were written a while back, or were they all kind of relatively new?
Let's see. I'll look through them. Most of them are new. Yeah. I think... Yeah, I mean, these are all fairly new songs. I was just looking through, because, I think every album is a strange journey. It's, you just kind of pull the thread and see where it goes. But this one, it felt really fresh. I worked with a guy named James McAllister, who has played drums on everyone from Sufjan Stevens, The National, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran. And I think he brought a real beautiful presence to the record where, like some of the songs, I would just write them on the road. I would sing them from a microphone hung from the ceiling. The microphone I had would only work if it was hung by the mic cable. So in the back lounge of the bus or in the dressing room, I would hang this microphone from the ceiling or from whatever I could find to hang it. And I'd sit there with my guitar and play acoustic a couple times, vocal a couple times, and then I'd send it to James. And in, you know, a matter of a day and a half, the song is pretty much what it is on the album, you know? And it's funny how, you can aim for something, but you never know what's going to happen. And we spent a little bit of time in the studio, working on existing songs, but it felt like the newer songs felt more cohesive, and those were the ones we ended up pursuing.
This one might be a tough one to answer because, you know, following you for years, I know that you don't like to play favorites with songs, but if there was one that was like you're most excited for the world to hear, maybe not necessarily a favorite, but like, can't wait for the world to hear this one. you know, like as fans, it would be like, you know, ask me tomorrow and it may be different because, you know, I may be going through something else and, you know, what's your favorite song or Young Foreman song? You kind of feel differently each day. But if it was today, what would you say is the song you can't wait for folks to hear?
You know, you touched on a really interesting thing is the idea that that the answer to that question is perpetually changing. So I could very easily cop out and try and say them all, right? I have been playing a few of them at after shows, which has been really wonderful. I Propose a Toast feels really great. I feel like that one is in keeping with the ephemeral nature of what it means to be alive and human and celebrating the moment. I think Sojourn, the very last song on the album, is going to be some people's favorites, some maybe weirdos like myself favorites. it's kind of a poem that turned into a spoken word, turned into a song. Trying to think what else. Oh, I think Eulogy is going to be one of the songs I can't wait to play for people as well. I think the that's a tough question to pick which one of my kids, but maybe those we'll stop at those three for now.
Nice. Yeah, I was going to ask if the last one was a instrumental or kind of shorter since it says epilogue on it, or if it's a full song.
But yeah, it's a full song. I mean, it actually there are I stopped the song midway through. So there may be two or three more verses to that song, but I just felt like it got a little long-winded almost like if it's a full sentence, it can be a full sentence, but if it's a punctuation mark at the end of the record, it needs to be shorter. So maybe someday the rest of the song will come out somewhere, but yeah, it's a full song.
Nice. Let's talk about who you collaborated with. You mentioned the drummer. I know that Keith was part of it. He actually teased this project a little bit when he was on the show with us last year. But who produced it? And you know, if you remember who all played on it, and also the featured artists, a couple of those that are on it.
Yeah. So James McAllister produced it with me. Aaron Redfield, a longtime co-conspirator of mine, played drums and percussion. Boaz Roberts played guitar on a few of the tracks. Obviously, Joy Alotakun sang on the title track. We've got Abby Holiday singing on Cheap Wine and Expensive Conversation. And then Jeff Coffin of Dave Matthews and Bela Fleck fame, playing flute and other woodwinds on it, on Lovers Are Believers.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I mean, it's kind of, these are, other than Abby, Joy, and James, these are kind of my, among the people that I always love collaborating with.
Very cool. That's an impressive list.
I also would be remiss in not saying that Tanner, our engineer, Tanner Sparks, did all the engineering. He mixed it. He mixed it in Atmos for anyone who has got a movie theater handy nearby to listen to it in. And my Chad and Tim, you know, Jerome, everyone's been super supportive. My brother and I, for months, we I've finally convinced him to make a solo album, right? So that is actually, as we speak right now, he is recording his solo album at our studio. And for like a month or so there, we would both go into the studio and independently work on our projects. And he was an incredible voice into this project, where he would come down and we evoke the name Rick Rubin for a certain type of producer who shows up ever so rarely and offers sage wisdom. And that we were both Rick Rubining each other's projects, where it's like, yeah, I don't know, I don't like the chorus, or, you know, whatever it was. So I think he is absolutely a huge part of any creative endeavor that I've done, and this one probably more than most.
Does that mean you are able to flip the joke on him now if he brings a song for Switchfoot and you say, that'd be good on your solo record?
Yes, I need to. I mean, it is such a good joke, but it's true. It is funny how certain songs don't fit on a band album that, it's going to fit great on a solo project.
Love it. Well, I thought to give the fans a kind of a sneak peek, the track listing was released, I think, last week or the week before.
Yeah.
And so fans have been talking about that. So I thought you can make this as long or short as you want. It could be like one sentence. It could be anything. When I mentioned the song of each track,
yeah,
maybe like a memory or the first thing that pops into your mind when it comes to that track, just to give fans a little taste of what's coming. So,
okay.
The first one, I propose a toast, the opening track.
So here is my tip for songwriting or proposing a toast. Find two polar opposites and string your song or your toast in the tension between them. And it could be, for example, here's to bad decisions and a really good time. Or here's to, you know, the big dream and the fine print, or whatever it is. And that is the way for this particular song. I wanted it to be the celebration of that moment at the end of the night with friends, lifting up the joy of the present tense, acknowledging the pain and mistakes and regrets and whatever else, and the beauty that brought us to that moment, and to raise a glass to the people in the room. There's a palpable feeling that I feel almost in my mouth when I think of those moments in my life. They're just the beauty, warm, almost firelit moments where everyone's together, family, friends, and that's what I wanted this song to embody.
At the time of recording this, this is the only other song other than the single that I've heard, and it was on a Facebook video, and breathtaking, incredible. I know it's already going to be one of my favorites. I was thinking it's kind of like a family member of Souvenirs and June and Johnny, like they kind of had a baby or something.
But, yes, yeah. Yes.
Love it. Track two is called Where the Sidewalk Ends. What comes to mind for that one?
Yeah. So if we take the metaphor of the garden from In Bloom, and we put that into our lens as we look at our own lives, and the idea that death is the only arrival, we're all in transit, which means that relationships are also in flow and flux, and I have no control over you. That's what makes the relationship beautiful. And you don't control me, but yet we continue to approach each other with love and compassion and respect. This is a song that is written about the unknown when the disagreement has brought us to a point where we're heading in different directions. And this is where the sidewalk ends. This is where I don't really know what to say. I'm not sure exactly what happens next, but I am committed to love and respect you, whatever comes And that is what this song is an attempt. It's a love song after the argument.
Very nice. Looking forward to that one. You mentioned the next one could possibly be a fan favorite. It is called Eulogy, track 3.
Yes. Eulogy. If we're continuing along the lines of the metaphor of the garden, let's just weave this through the whole album. You have old growth that falls to the ground, becoming fertilizer for the future. That's referenced in the title track. I think this would be celebrating the past, the idea that every day I write the eulogy for the man that I used to be, and continuing to grow, wanting to learn from my mistakes. It in the song, it mentions my rearview mirror dreams. This is a song that is, I think, looking in my rearview mirror dreams at what has brought me here, looking to the future, and eulogizing the past to put it to rest that it might become fertilizer for future blooms.
Nice. Love it. I could talk all day about these responses, but I'll keep it moving. But that's awesome. Anyway,
my daughter Daisy sings in Eulogy, which
nice.
Maybe that's what makes it my favorite song.
Yeah. So the title track In Bloom is track 4.
Yes.
Been an amazing response so far from the fans. And it just seems like a great opening to kind of, be an intro to the whole project as well.
Yeah. Yeah. In Bloom it opens with a reference to a Dylan line that I've always found compelling. There's a Rumi quote hidden in there as well. I think when I remember that all of us, every single person you meet is unfinished, in transit, underway, then I have more compassion for them, and I can also find compassion for myself. And I think many of the labels we put on each other and ourselves begin to slip away when we remember that, yes, this person made in the image of God is still unfolding, you know? And so this, I think In Bloom is my attempt to, stay present to the glorious, awkward moment that we are in right now.
Love it. Great track. Can't wait to hear more. The fifth one is Antidote. Is that right? I believe so.
That's
Antidote.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So anti-venom is derived from the venom itself. And I feel like that is illuminating when you think of the things that we fear. Sometimes those are the very things we need to confront to move past them. This is a song that confronts those fears. It says, is there a remedy for all the broken parts of me? This is kind of a midnight song. Looking for the light, certainly. I think songwriting for me is a form of meditation, and it's a form of prayer. This is kind of somewhere in between that and maybe a little bit of dream analysis in there too. Yeah, so this one strikes at the question of what's the antidote.
Love it. Very cool. The sixth one is called Stay Wild, Wildflower. It's a great title.
Yes. So this one was inspired by the wildflowers in my life. We talked about in Where the Sidewalk Ends, we talk about control. I think relationships, if they're to be true, that I have no control over the other and the other has no control over me. And in that, there's this spontaneous joy that erupts from the unexpected that this other provides for you. And sometimes it can be maddening because it's not, that other is not doing what you want them to do. Chesterton says that joy is made possible by surprise. The surprise is needed for joy. And I feel like that is what is beautiful about the wildflower of the moment. When I can recognize that unexpected surprise that even might be annoyingly the wrong thing that I didn't want to happen, when I can see that as a wildflower for what it is, then I'm embracing the people that I love the most being themselves rather than wishing that they were other than they are. So yeah, this one's dedicated to my wife, my daughter, my son too. Stay wild, wildflower.
Nice. Love the sneak peek. You know, a lot of the quotes that we've shared on this podcast and online from, you know, song stories from different albums. So we're getting the sneak peek here at some of these, which is amazing.
It's really fun because I was actually trying to put my words onto paper for all of this. And it just so happens that I'm like looking, I'm like, oh, this is clarifying. I need to write. Yeah. I need to remember some of these things, you know? Yeah.
You can just listen to this and then put down what you said here. And that's the song story.
You don't have to write anything. Yeah. It's a lot easier.
Track 7, Heaven Is Yours.
Yes. So Heaven Is Yours is an attempt to put the Beatitudes into a song. And so I've heard it said, write what you know. And I feel like I write about what I don't know. Those are the things that keep me up at night. Those are the things that drive me crazy. I try and confront them in a safe, the safe environment of song. And so, there's a review I read that one time that said that we were something to the lines of attempting to sing about Kierkegaard's unanswered questions. And I felt like that was the highest compliment we could ever get. Because I feel like the unanswered questions are the things that I keep coming back to and writing songs about. And the Beatitudes are certainly, they strike right at the heart of the paradox of what it means to be alive. How could you possibly be blessed for being brokenhearted, for being, poor in spirit? How is that a blessing? How are you lucky for that? So it's a song that wrestles with that. And yeah, it feels like it's singing from a place of longing, not of a place of control. But yeah, that's Heaven Is Yours is a continuation of writing what I don't know.
So I'll go ahead and predict that'll be one of my favorites, but we'll see. But
okay.
Can't wait. Track 8 is Lovers Are Believers.
Yes. So human existence is a faith-based enterprise. You and I are talking into a screen because we genuinely believe that there's somebody at the other end of that screen that might actually hear us. I'm drinking this sparkling water because I believe it is not poison. And we have faith in our Uber driver and the airport and all these things along the way. And yet in our empirical enlightenment, post-enlightenment era, I think the words belief and faith and religion are much maligned words that feel somehow beneath statistics. And yet I think that your faith and my faith is the way we treat each other, the things that we do with our money, our time, the, you know, the way we drive. This is our belief system here on the planet. And I had the privilege of interviewing Greg Graffin from Bad Religion, who's one of my favorite bands when I was a kid, because I feel like they confronted head on hypocrisy and duplicity found in the not just in the United States and the Western world, but in the Western church as well. And I loved it because it felt like it was singing the truth. And he has this interesting concept of religion. He would say that naturalism is his belief system. And I feel like that is much more honest than saying, I don't have a religion. It, you know, because I feel like we all do. We all have this belief system that undergirds every decision we make. And so when you say, like, I guess the question is, where are your desires, your wars, your passions coming from? They can't be justified with statistics. I mean, we usually use statistics piled up on top of our desires. And that's even like a behavioral truth that feels, I mean, whether you're talking about Sartre or Michael Polanyi, talking about how we undergird our beliefs with statistics to kind of rationalize what we want to do. So anyways, mm-hmm. this song is a song that just kind of strikes at the heart of that. Lovers are believers. The first verse says, there's no such thing as an unbeliever. We all trust in different things. Like consensual hallucinations like money or diamond rings. The idea that, like, all these things that we trust in, there's a faith-based element at the back of it. And then under all of that, I think I would say, well, what's the best thing that I can think of as far as an interaction between you or me? Well, I think it's got to come back, you know, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Lovers are believers.
Yes. So good. Can't wait for that as well. Track 9 is Cheap Wine and Expensive Conversation.
Yes. And Lovers Are Believers also has a flute solo in it at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Nice. Wait, don't fast forward until you get to the flute solo. Cheap Wine has Abby Holiday on it. Maybe this song is playing with the idea of freedom. What does freedom mean if it doesn't mean the ability to give your freedom away and completely embrace someone? Value versus cost. You know, I would gladly take playing in the sand with my son than some fine, you know, the finest caviar you can buy me. I just don't like caviar. Maybe that's the problem.
Track 10 is called Lover. What you got on that one?
Lover. Lover is... So the scripture says, if I speak the beautiful words of, you know, men and of angels, but have not love, I'm just a clanging gong. I feel like this is a song that kind of unpacks that from the personal perspective. If love is patient, love is kind, then that's what I need. Is love the kind of thing that neither envies nor boasts? Let's go, I need that too. You know, this is a song that I feel like instead of singing it in church or in a choir or something, this is like a late night conversation by candlelight, and it feels somehow even more appropriate.
Few minutes left here and a couple songs. Number 11 is As Simple As Us, and there's periods after each word.
Yes, just to make it complicated. Let's see. This one plays with the idea that the sun doesn't go down. It simply appears that way because of the orbit of our planet, the spin and all of this, the idea that night and day are different names for the same rotation in space, and potentially, you know, where we stand on the planet determines what we're seeing. Is it a lie that right now in India it is night? No, it is night there. And is it a lie that it's daylight here? No, those are both true, and they're not mutually exclusive. So I feel like that can be really helpful in a relationship to say, no, actually, I think your feelings can be your feelings. My feelings can be my feelings. Those can be both true at the same time. Without one of us being a liar, or one of us saying, okay, I guess you're the only one who's right. I feel like the same concept of orbit and spin can be useful when I attempt to understand faith and doubt, that they're oftentimes different words to describe our the place where we're faced with the mystery of life, with death, with the enormity of our maker. And so it is a song maybe much like Living Is Simple, that is has its tongue firmly in its cheek in its title.
Very cool. And the last one is Sojourn Epilogue.
Yes. So this one started as a conversation with my photographer friend on a boat in a rainstorm off the coast of Florida. And we were talking about the differences and similarities between songwriting and photography. And I love these kind of conversations because I find them to be illuminating, not just to somebody else's world, but I think that the perspective gives me leverage with which to lift my own craft in a different way. And so just thinking through what it means to be exposed to something, that, because you're exposing the film to the light. Right, the light is reflecting off of this object, and you are exposing the film for a split second to the light, and then you're capturing it, then you take it into the dark room, and all these phrases feel like they're very analogous to what I do with songwriting. So there's a lot of lines in here. Songs are my dark room, melody confession booth. Like, what kind of light are you exposing yourself to? All of these things just kind of came alive to me. And it was one of those songs that just kind of wrote itself in 5 minutes. And I can't wait for people to hear it. It feels like, it's a beautiful kind of breath mint at the end of this whole experience.
Yes. Love it, man. There you have it, track by track. May 31st is when it comes out. Any plans for another single or two leading up to it?
Yes, there will be more singles. And just to clarify, sometimes at the end of these things with interviews, I'm always just struck by, I'm thankful that you want to hear, these are incredible questions, and I feel very long-winded, and I hope anyone listening to this, thank you so much for listening. And I hope these songs bring light and life to you. And I hope that they open the doors and the windows of your soul to a bigger experience of the world, of yourself, of your community, of your maker. Yeah, what a gift to be able to pontificate about them. I hope that you find meaning and truth there as well.
We're excited for the journey. You know, you're currently on tour. You got sound check coming up, so I'll let you get back to work. But just want to say one more thing, that this, you know, entire podcast is a tribute to you and the band, and I think I can speak on behalf of fans everywhere. Two simple words: thank you. You know, I truly hope that you know how much joy and life that you have brought us over the years, and can't wait for the next chapter here in a couple months. So thank you very much.
Let's go. And now we all need to give positive peer pressure to my little brother, Tim, so we can hear his project. It is fantastic. It is so good. It's unreal. I cannot wait for the world to hear it. So as much as I'm excited about my record getting out there, you just wait. Wait for my brothers.
Well, yeah, we can't wait. Just, you guys have your own studio. So the joke I always say is, even if you guys don't want to tour years from now, you can always just keep putting out music, right? You got hard drive, right? Music, just keep putting it out for us.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. Wonderful questions. And I hope you enjoy the record.
The light that you seek is seeking you. Let the dead seed go and watch it grow brand new. I'm a desert in blue. I'm a desert in blue. Let the hard times make me wiser. A failure fertilizer for the flowers on my tomb. I'm a desert in blue.